What the singers have sung and collectively helped us sing together, what John had to share, which really kind of sets up what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about the good news. Great thing to talk about, the good news, right? So we're going to go to Mark chapter 1. If you're visiting, weren't here last week, we just started a series last week from a book called Jesus the King, and it's focused on the Gospel of Mark. And so we're kind of looking in Mark 1. Last week and again this week. So let's pull up the slides. Jesus the King is the title of the series. We're going to focus on these verses right here. The first recorded words of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, we're going to read right here, starting in verse 14. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. This is the first thing recorded that Jesus spoke in the Gospel of Mark. And what does he do? He shows up on the scene of the world, and he's here. I'm here to proclaim something. I'm here to tell you about something. I'm here to make something known. And it's the good news of this new kingdom with this new king, of which he was the new king.
Yep.
And if you're going to grasp a hold of this good news, if you're going to believe the good news, if it really takes root, then I'm going to call you to repent, because this good news is going to require a change in direction from where you've been going so far. That's the first thing Jesus has to say that's recorded here, as he's talking about this good news. I want to share a little video clip about news. We're going to talk about news for a minute. And back in the 30s,
what's all the shouting?
You know, back in the day, the newsboys are out there on the corner, extra, extra, read all. Maybe that's what we should be doing as Christians on the corners, extra, extra, read all about it. You know, have our Bible open and help people know about the good news. I don't know what it looks like in today's world, but we're going to talk about news and getting the news out there. What does the news mean? And what did Jesus mean when he was on the corner proclaiming the good news? You know, because there was a day when Jesus did that. We just read about it right here. Let's talk about different kinds of news. Go to the next slide. There's individual news. News that just pertains to you as a person. You can have individual, you can have bad news. You know, maybe you just developed a health condition that you didn't have before. Maybe your job's being eliminated. And that's news, but it's personal news, not the greatest news. Maybe you're getting a promotion. And that's in a better category, you know, so that's personal good news. You lost your phone. Anybody ever lost a phone? And then when you find it, you feel like, hey, that's good news. I found my phone, because we cannot exist without our phones. You know, it's funny, my dad, he was just in town, and we're getting ready to deer hunt again. He hunts every season with me as long as he has the health to do so. And back when, you know, he's slow to get on the smartphone curve. You know, and so, you know, and he had his flip phone, and he would never text because it cost him a dime, and I am not paying a dime for no stinking text. And but eventually he got a smartphone, and he was just thinking this craziest thing, that a smartphone is required equipment for hunting. But we tried to convince him of it, and now he agrees that a smartphone is part of the required equipment for hunting. You know, so when you lose a phone and you find it, it's good news. You're fired up about it. But that's individual news. You follow me there? Go to the next one. You know, there's daily news. You know, news that you would find maybe in the pantograph. Something that's going on that's just kind of today's news. The stock market's up. The stock market's down. The flooding in Texas. You know, McLean County is going to drop their property tax by 50%. That's some good news. That's also fake news. I'm sorry. Sorry to tell you. But there are such things as fake news. That would be fake news. The normal community just beat Normal West on Friday. Now, see, that's perspective-wise. That's good news for one team, but not so good news for another team. So news can be taken individually. It can be group news. It can be good for one and not so good for another. You know, there's world news. Well, the next one. 1941. This is the... This is the headline. This is the world news in 1941. Pearl Harbor was bombed. Congress voted to go to war. That was big news. That's worldwide news. And it was bad news that, you know, you don't want to ever hear about a bombing, and especially in your country, people that have died. 4 years later, there was another headline, 1945, the war is over. So now that was good news, at least for anybody that was in opposition to the Nazis and Japan and all. So you got individual news, you got current news, you got worldwide news. There's all kinds of news. What kind of news was Jesus talking about when he was standing on the corner of the public place saying, repent and believe the good news? What kind of news is that? Go to the next one. You know, the gospel is an announcement of good news. And that word gospel was used in a broader reach than just Christianity. There was a day when Greece was being invaded by Persia. And the Greeks beat the Persians. And they won a victory for their people. And so after they won that victory, the Greek, those in charge of the Greek community, they sent heralds, interestingly also called evangelists, to go proclaim to the cities of Greece that you're free. Free from the bondage of Persia. Mm-hmm. Interesting, isn't that? You know, that word evangelist was used in non-Christian circles. It's the idea that somebody has good news and they're going to go out and share it with the people that it affects. Fast forward to today, that's who we are. Amen?
Yeah.
So you got... So this is what a gospel is the sharing of good news that really affects a broader group of people. Now go to the next slide. So what about the gospel of Jesus? The good news Jesus was talking about. He's talking about, literally, the gospel means news that brings joy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's news like that World War II started. That's news, but that's not good news.
Right.
Okay? Jesus' news, it's good news. It's news that brings joy. Okay? It's history-making, life-altering news. On a broad scale, that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, repent and believe the good news. This is the category of news he was talking about. His news was going to affect all people of all nations, of all races. This is the biggest news that's ever come about.
Yep.
That's the news he was talking about when Jesus hit the scene and first started preaching. Go to the next slide. The news that Jesus brought is the news that where he said, you know, I've come to change your status. Did we skip ahead? Well, whatever. We'll get maybe caught up here in a second. You know, or maybe I missed one. Did I miss one? Anyway, he's come to take away your sins. His news is it's big. It's broad. It's reaching. His news is, good news is, you were lost, but I want you to be saved.
Right.
You were in a place where you can't do anything about it. This good news cannot affect you based on what you've done or what you haven't done. This good news applies to you based on what Jesus has done for you in history.
Right.
It's a whole different category of good news. It's good news like nothing anybody's seen before. Go to the next one. Jesus came to change your status. He came to change your status from being lost to being saved, from being a person awaiting punishment to be a person awaiting pardon.
Right.
From being a foreigner to God to being a family member of God.
Amen.
This is the news he was talking about. This is when he came and said, repent and believe the good news. That's such a short sentence. But this is what the meaning was behind that short sentence that Jesus started with. Go back to where we started. The next slide. This is what he started with. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. If if people of that day and people today, if we can understand the good news, if we can find that that news is credible, that Jesus truly was the King of Kings, then the result would be, well, then repent. Get on board with Jesus. Because if we're not on board with Jesus, then we're going the wrong direction according to God.
Yep.
Let's talk about repentance for a minute. Repent simply means to change direction. So this guy's got carpooling going on. You know, you're doing it wrong. If this is how you carpool, you put your car in the pool, you're doing it wrong. You want to repent and go a different direction with your carpooling. Go to the next one. You know, if this is how you boat, okay, you're doing it wrong. You got to repent and do it the other way around, okay? Repentance means you got to change direction. You got to do it differently.
Yeah.
You know, with Dee and I in our relationship, you know, early on, Dee would tell me about how she was feeling about something, and she'd be sharing that with me, and I'd be listening, and I would listen. It's like, oh, I got it. I got it. I'm hearing you. I got the perfect answer to fix that problem. I need to repent. I needed to go a different direction. You know, and I learned that over a few years that, you know, that was not what she was looking for. That was not helpful. So I had to repent and go a different direction and not fix that feeling that she was sharing. Go to the next one. You know, we got to change direction. When Jesus said repent, you know, this bear, I walked 3 blocks in the wrong direction because I was texting. Anybody ever do that? Anybody text and miss something? Or you're on, anyway. What's the problem with that? That this highlights, the problem this highlights is we're focused in our world.
Yep.
And we're so consumed with what's in front of us in our world.
Yeah.
That we go the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And when Jesus came, He came to call us to repent and change our direction. Not to be self-consumed. It's the wrong direction is when we are, it's all about us. When we're king of our life, we're going the wrong direction. And Jesus came to be our king and to call us to be followers of Him. The good news, that's good news. You're like, why is that good news? I like being my own king. Really? Is that going great for you? You know? If we stop and consider how great it is to go our way with our wisdom, number one, in this life, we'll mess all kinds of stuff up.
Yeah.
But then when we die and meet God, we're really not going to be happy with that choice. Okay, we're going the wrong way if we're king. So we're going to investigate this idea of repentance this morning. If we understand the good news, it should drive us to repent. It should drive us to change directions. It should drive us to say, I don't want to be king of my life because I mess it up. I want Jesus to be king of my life because He knows the right direction to go, and I want to follow Him and not my wisdom. So what does it mean? What is this repentance? You know, can we dust off repentance this morning? You know, many of you come to church, you know, for many years, and we've heard the word repent, but let's dust it off. Let's refresh it. You know, let's look at repentance again. Let's make sure Jesus is king of our life and not someone else, something else or ourselves. Amen?
Yeah.
Go to the next slide. Here's an interesting test for us. I will obey Jesus, which is the same as I will follow Jesus, if my relationships work out as I desire. If my career goes as expected. If my family is safe. If my health is good. If my trials are manageable and reasonably sized, in my opinion. If I can still do what I want and how I want. If I can do this, then I'll have Jesus as Lord. Jesus as King. If this is going on, anything that follows if is the real King of our life.
Right.
Well.
Yep.
Jesus isn't King if we have this going on.
Right.
And whatever follows if is actually King. Do we have any of these in our heart?
Yeah.
this morning. You know, if we've never become a Christian, we do. And even if we've become a Christian, sometimes we slide back to this.
Yep.
And when we do slide back to this, we basically went over to Jesus in the throne of our life and said, excuse me, you need to get out of there because something else needs to go there, not you. And we can do that. It's not that hard if we're not careful to do that. But that's not the goal, is it? That's not the target. That's not what Jesus said when he came and said, repent, believe the good news. He was saying, look, this news is so good, you want me in that seat.
Right.
You want to kick out whatever's in the throne seat of your life. You want me there.
Right.
That's part of the good news.
Yeah.
And we got to work to keep that as a reality.
Yeah.
Go to the next slide. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:14, we read this. Christ's love compels us. What's the motivating factor to repent? The love of Christ.
That's right.
What's the reason? Why would anybody in their right mind get the take everything out of the throne of their life and let Jesus sit there instead of ourselves sitting there or something else sitting there? Why clear everything out and let Jesus be there? Because the love of Christ means so much to us that we want him there. We're convinced that Jesus died for all. Therefore, all died. And he died for all that we who live would no longer live for ourselves. We would repent. We would go a different direction. Instead of living for me, now I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to change direction. Isn't that what this is talking about?
Yeah.
And it tells, and God tells us why. The reason we would do that is because we understand the depth of the love that God has shown us, and it means something.
Yeah.
Let's take repentance a little more, make it a little more tangible. Go to the next slide. Luke 14, verse 26 reads this. If anyone comes to me, or you could say, if anyone wants to be a Christian,
yeah.
Or you could say, if anyone wants to make Jesus king, and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yeah, even your own life, then you can't be my disciple.
Yep.
Jesus can't be king if there's some devotion higher than God. If we're going to make Jesus king, if we're going to truly repent, then that means we put God as our highest devotion.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hate like I wish bad on my family. And we know this from other verses. It means that that if you compare our devotion to God and our devotion to anything else, everything else is second to God.
Right.
God has an undisputed top spot. That's what repentance looks like. Is Jesus your highest devotion this morning? Is Jesus my highest devotion this morning? If we're going to repent, if we're going to believe the good news, if we're going to listen to the words that Jesus first spoke, then that has to be the case. Go to the next slide there. Let's look at Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. What is making Jesus our highest devotion? What does it look like? Right after Jesus said those words we read earlier, he immediately engages in a discussion with some guys around him and calls them to repent, to follow him, to make them make him their king. So Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon, his brother Andrew, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come and follow me, Jesus said. I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them. They left their dad, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired guys and followed Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus called them to repent. He called them to change direction. He called them to make him their highest devotion. They left their job. They walk away from their dad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't walk away and have no contact with their dad.
Right.
It's not like, okay, I'm severing my connection. I'm never going to talk to you again. That's not what happened.
Right.
But Jesus said, at this moment, I'm calling you to come with me. And they did. Because he was their highest devotion. Even above family. Even above career. Even above whatever you want to fill in the blank. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like for us to repent. That's a real life person who heard Jesus, who understood Jesus, and felt like that good news is good enough for me to walk away from anything I got going on. What being around him is my highest pursuit. So if he wants me to go with him, I'm going with him. Because there's nothing I got going on more important than being around Jesus. Is that our view of our relationship with Jesus this morning? Is there an area that we need to repent this morning? Selfishness, our career, relationships, our desires. Do we have bitterness or hurts or fear that get in the way from us having Jesus as King? It's worth thinking through, because it's easy as life goes on to get caught up in having competing devotion for who's at the top.
Yep.
You know, for those of us who studied the Bible and became Christians, we had a very clear moment before we were baptized. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus is my highest devotion. And in that moment of clarity, we were locked in. But then over time, we can lose it.
Yep.
We got to lock it back in again. And we got to repent if we're going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Last thing is, we're going to make Jesus King. Go to the next slide. We got to trust the King, whatever happens.
Come on.
You know, in this little scene we just looked at, Jesus showed up and he preached the good news and he called people to follow him. And those who followed him, what did they know? What did they actually know about the future at that moment? How much of following Jesus did they understand? What part of the picture did they have at this moment when they left the nets and walked with Jesus? I don't think they knew a whole lot. They knew that Jesus said there's some good news out here and that he's the King. You know, they earlier in Mark, he's the King. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the one prophesied about. We believe it. We think it's credible. That means he's God, and he wants to have a relationship with us, and he's saying, hey, we should leave our nets and walk with him. We're going to do that. That's about what they knew. Right?
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of things they didn't have figured out.
Yep.
There's a whole lot of things. That journey that just started had a whole lot of ups and downs and twists and turns that they knew nothing about. But they trusted the King.
Yeah.
Yep. Go to the next slide. Let's look at a few things that just happened right after he did this. You know, Mark chapter 1 in verse 22, Jesus is teaching all the people around and they're listening. It says, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. So right after they start following him, the next thing that happens is Jesus is teaching a bunch of people, and a bunch of people are like, oh my goodness, this guy's different.
Yep.
He taught as one who had authority. Another way that's understood is he taught as if he was the author of the words.
Mm.
It was tangibly different to listen to Jesus from what the religious teachers were doing, and what Jesus were doing was markedly different.
Yeah.
And if you just left your nets to follow him, you might be thinking, this guy is really something. I made a good decision. Jesus is pretty awesome. Well, what's the next thing that happens? Verse 23, just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." That's got to freak you out a little bit, right? You're like, I'm following Jesus the King, and this crazy guy comes in who's got an evil spirit, and he starts shouting stuff off, and you're the Holy One of God, and then Jesus says, "Oh, be quiet, get out of him." And then all of a sudden the guy's calm, and everything's just changed. You're like, whoa, what just happened? You know, you ever see something crazy happen? You look at the, did you just see that? I mean, I got to imagine those guys looking at each other. Did you see it too? They didn't know when they were left their nets that Jesus was going to be casting out evil spirits in the next three sentences, however much time elapsed. Verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They told Jesus about her, so he went to her and he took her by the hand, helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. When they left their nest, did they know that was going to happen? Did they know that they were going to be in the house and all of a sudden the whole town's going to show up and Jesus is going to go around saying, "Be healed, be healed, be healed. Demon, go, 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 go." And they're going to be going, "Oh my goodness, this is crazy." I can't even imagine the scene.
Right.
Try to picture the scene. All they knew, they didn't know this was going to happen when they made Jesus their king. They just trusted that whatever would happen, Jesus would be taking them in a good direction.
Yeah.
Verse 41. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Man who had leprosy. People that have leprosy don't get touched. People that have leprosy are avoided. You don't want to touch them. You don't want to get what they've got. Jesus, in the depth of his love, touched the man. He didn't have to. He touched the untouchable. And he said, "I am willing. I'm willing to cure you. Be clean." They got to see Jesus get personal and express deep love for someone. And I bet they felt it. And I hope we can feel it this morning. That's the God that we get to make king. A God who has compassion, who looks at you and looks at me and looks at the people around you and has compassion on us and wants to reach out and touch you when you're hurting.
Yeah.
I care. I'm willing. You mean something to me. That's the king that we're serving. It's an amazing scene. These are things they had no idea would happen. Now, also, those are some really good things, right?
Yep.
There were some challenges that came down that journey as well. Now, go to the next slide. We're not going to flip to all the verses. Persecutions would come. Death threats would come. Mobs would come. Jail time would come. A cross would come. They didn't know any of this stuff when they made Jesus the king of their life. But they trusted the king.
Yep.
You and I, we don't know what the future is going to bring. I don't want my future. I could be dead tomorrow. And I don't say that flippantly. I could. We don't know.
Right.
I could get a disease tomorrow. I mean, any number of things could happen tomorrow.
Yep.
We don't know what the future is going to bring. But do we trust the king? If we're going to believe the good news, if we're going to make Jesus the king of our life, do we trust him enough to keep him on the throne of our life?
Yeah.
Is he credible as king?
Right.
Does it make sense to put him as king? When trials come, do we want to kick him out of the seat, or do we trust him enough to say, I know this is hard, and I know he sees it, and I know he cares about me, and I don't love this trial, but doggone it, he's king, he's going to stay there, and I trust him.
Yeah.
This is the good news we're talking about this morning.
Yeah.
This is the good news that Jesus spoke about. This is the good news that if you're a Christian, God has said, you are a herald. You are an evangelist. You and I should be on the, out there sharing. That's why we have these Lego stories, that we want to share the good news. We want to be out there saying, whatever version of today's world is, extra, extra, read all about it. Jesus the King has come. Come and learn about it.
Yep.
That's who we are if we're going to follow Jesus. The last slide here. Repent and believe the good news. The history-making, life-altering news. That Jesus can be our King. And let us trust that wherever that road goes, Jesus will take care of us.
Yep.
He'll be with us. He'll give us what we need. He won't give us more than we can handle.
Yep.
He will take... That's who He is. And if that's cloudy for anyone in the room, study it out. Get some help. Look at Jesus, because that's who He is. Let's make Him our King. Let's let Him stay on the throne. And let's trust in Him all the days of our life. We're going to stand and sing a song, and then Kurt's going to come up, say a few words, and say a prayer before we take communion. So I love you all. Let's stand and sing.